The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, DMV. If you've missed any show, look us up on Spotify or iHeartRadio. That's Pointing You Home on Spotify or iHeartRadio. If you're on your computer, all you have to do is Google Eric Stewart Group Radio to listen to us anytime you want.
It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage.
Hey, what are the best cities in the whole U.S. for public transit? I often think of New York, which is, in fact, one of the top cities. It is, in fact, considered the top city. And that's according to the latest transit score update. And then Union City, New Jersey, and San Francisco, California, and Hoboken, New Jersey, and Cambridge, Massachusetts. These are your top cities. But Washington, D.C. comes in pretty close to the top, right there at number 8. It has a score of 71, and that's a very good score considering they've bumped up 3 points in just the past year. That's great. Tacoma Park, Maryland, it's number 20. Arlington, Virginia, number 62. Hyattsville, Maryland, my goodness, number 24. And Silver Spring, Maryland, is number 14. So tremendous, tremendous benefits for having public transportation if you need to get somewhere easily. Now, I got to tell you, my car broke down this past week, and I was the auctioneer of my kids' auction for their school. And after I was all done, I got into my car wouldn't start. So unfortunately, I had to lock the car, use my Uber app, and got a car. $7 later, I was delivered to my house. It was unbelievable. Now, they tell me because it was late at night, it was cheaper. Wasn't a lot of traffic out there at that point. This is around, 10 o'clock at night, not super late. I surely found that easy, and it really opened my eyes to, there may come a time when having a car of my own is not going to be that critical to me. I love having my car. It's easy. I love getting into it when it actually starts, of course. There's a great benefit to public transportation and also the ease with which we can get someone to take us from one place to the other. Transportation becomes a subscription. We can subscribe to using specific devices, whether that's the subway, or whether that's a train, or whether that's a carpool, or whether that's just taking an Uber or a Lyft. Northern Virginia home sales. Prices are holding steady. Higher seller expectations are impacting the Arlington market, as I reported last week. Last weekend, a real estate agent was reporting they had over 37 groups come through an open house. Now, not all the houses are selling for multiple offers well over list price, but we are definitely seeing prices up about 2.6% this year compared to last year. Arlington up 6.3%, and across Arlington County on average 6.29%. So a bump based on demand for what? Right, National Landing, Amazon's headquarters. In spite of the fact that we don't have the jobs there yet, they're coming. People are investing. They're hoping that this will actually happen. Of course, we all believe it will happen now.
I got a dog in a corner, and I'm running the clown. Don't let nobody pay me cheap. I got 50 cents more than I can keep. Let the good time roll.
Delinquency rates have fallen to a pre-housing crisis level. Good news, that means that the failure to make a mortgage payment has dipped to levels unseen since before the 2008 housing crisis. Only 4.1% of homeowners were delinquent on their mortgage in December, which sounds like a lot, and frankly, it is a lot of people, but it's definitely, as a percentage, way down from where it was before. And that latest home equity report has also found that the average homeowner saw a $9,700 increase in their equity in 2018. If you're thinking about buying a piece of real estate, remember, in the long run, when you own real estate, you're doing two things when you own real estate. You are owning something that is yours, that you, if you're paying a mortgage, you are paying back the bank for what they lent you so that you could secure that property at a current price. If the price continues to go up while you own it, you get the benefit of the rise in value, and the decrease in your mortgage balance as you amortize, or as the French would say, amortisation, which means to kill. As you amortize your loan, you will kill the loan. You'll increase your equity by virtue of the rise in the market and the decrease in the amount you owe. Have you heard about this buyer-side lawsuit? It's a class action lawsuit that was filed in the United States District Court in Illinois on March 6th. And this is likely to end up being called Morrall versus NAR. Now, Morrall is not M-O-R-A-L, Morrall, but it's M-O-E-H-R-L. It alleges that cooperation and compensation is an antitrust violation that results in consumers being harmed. And it seeks to stop forcing home sellers to pay commissions to a buyer agent, okay? Meaning that the way that the multiple listing services is set up, when I take a listing, there's two forms of commission. There's what I get paid as a listing agent for everything that I do for my sellers to get their home sold for top dollar. But there's also a portion that's offered out to buyers. That's the buyer agent commission, or not necessarily just the buyer agent commission. It's to any agent who brings a buyer in, whether they're representing the buyer or not. The sum total of what's paid to the agent bringing the buyer in and the seller's agent representing the seller is the total commission. Now, what I want to explain here is this. In the MLS, you have to offer out a specific amount of compensation out to other agents as compensation for the work that they are doing. Now, historically, the compensation that's been offered out has been consistent with small variations. This class action lawsuit is suggesting that it's not the seller's responsibility to have to pay a commission. In fact, to even offer a commission is not the seller's responsibility. They want to break what they feel is an antitrust that buyers should take responsibility to pay their agents the commission on the buy side, since ultimately the buyers are getting representation. It's not the seller's responsibility. Now, practically speaking, let's look at this. And this is 31 years and over 3,000 homes sold. Who has the money? Typically, it's the seller, not necessarily the buyer. But it could be the buyer. It's just typically not. Most buyers don't come in with enough to pay a commission. You know, let's say it's a $500,000 house and there's a $15,000 commission paid to a buyer agent in that situation. Your buyers don't typically have on top of their closing costs and their down payment that additional amount of money to pay a real estate agent to represent them. So all of it was pushed over onto the seller side. And so if you're a seller and you're also buying a house, you had to pay commission for your listing agent and to the buyer's agent, but you didn't have to pay anything when you went to buy the next place because it was on the seller of that property. So we'll see what happens. This is an interesting bombshell, and I don't know how this is going to play out. Ultimately, I don't see this as a class action lawsuit that has merit in this respect, because the seller doesn't have to offer out a commission. It's the seller's right to say, I don't want to. Well, if I go out on a listing appointment and I tell a seller you should offer out X percent because that's the going rate, the seller could say, I don't want to do that. I only want to offer out, you know, $2. He could say anything he wants to. Now, as a listing agent, I wouldn't advise that unless there's a major shift in the overall economy of real estate where buyer agents are actually getting paid by their buyers. To force that, maybe this could force a change. Okay, so we'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys posted on that as we go down the road. If you're self-employed, or what they call a gig worker, getting a mortgage has just gotten easier because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are now using optical character recognition technology to speed up approval processes for freelancers. Let me explain. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are self-employed, or you earn your money through freelance work or what they call gig work, you know this drill firsthand. Applying for a mortgage can be an intrusive ordeal because you don't have a consistent means of income from an employer. You are freelancing and you're maybe fully booked. Think of a freelancer or a gig worker a little bit like a contractor. A contractor gets a job to go out and fix some things in someone's home. They have to get another job in order for them to continue the employment. Historically, self-employed workers had to provide 2 years of tax returns to provide essentially a level that the mortgage bankers could say, okay, this person has been consistent for 2 years in a row at earning X dollars, doing whatever it is that they're doing. So the questions that they often get are, how come you reported less on your tax return than what you're claiming is your income on your loan application? Okay. You might get charged more fees. It might take longer to get approved. In other words, sometimes our borrowers don't report every penny that they earn. Now, that's on them because truly, if you make an income, you should be paying tax on the income because that's the nature of American income. We have a federal and we have a state government. In our country, we are indebted to the government as a protector of our rights, as a protector of our country through the defense, through the provision of highways, the provision of common goods, schools, otherwise. And so our taxes pay for that. You make money, you should be paying taxes. Even if you don't want to, you should be paying taxes. If you actually don't pay taxes, you do hurt your ability to buy real estate. So don't do that. Instead of an underwriter having to plow through wads of tax documents, okay, lenders can upload paperwork directly to something called LoanBeam, where it's scanned and analyzed within minutes, saving time and money for borrowers and lenders alike. So this is Freddie Mac's Senior Vice President, Andy Higginbotham. He told us about the system that it takes 3 to 5 days out of the process of underwriting and can cut hundreds of dollars in costs and slashes risks for lenders. If you could use algorithmic formulas, if you can use, again, this optical character recognition technology to derive insight into an application, you can cut the costs, cut the time for those who are gig workers, and that's good news. That frees up the opportunities for those gig workers to be able to buy real estate. I'm going to take a quick break. When I get back, which DC neighborhood has gone from kind of rugged to really in demand? Stay with me.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome back. We've had a great week this past week. We've sold a multitude of homes as seller agents, and we got above asking price on a few different occasions. In fact, our average list-to-sell ratio was higher last year than the Reynolds team, than Kerry Scholl, than any of the other brokers that you might hear on this station. Truly, we averaged 1.5% more for our clients than they did. So you hear their ads? Let's set the record straight, folks. Here's a new listing. 12 China Rose Court for $990,000 in Rockville, Maryland, 20850. Taxable square footage, 3,758 square feet. That's above grade, but the basement has almost 2,000 square feet. And this is in the Richard Montgomery High School District, which is one of the top 100 high schools, according to Newsweek magazine. It's a 5-bedroom, 4.5-bath, single-family home with an owner's suite, an attached office nursery, and a huge, just gorgeous walk-in closet, 2-car attached garage, a large Trex deck that's almost 1,000 additional square feet outside. The sunshine streams through this property. Okay, it is worth the view. You should check it out online at ericstewartgroup.com. The chef's kitchen, breakfast room, they open up to an expanded family room with high ceilings and many windows create a light-filled space with skylights providing additional natural beauty. Check it out. So in D.C., we've got a property we're getting ready to put on the market for about $2.5 million near Woodley and 33rd, just walking or short drive distance from the National Cathedral. We'll tell you about that when we go live with it. Well, we're moving on up, moving on to the east. So which neighborhood in Washington, D.C. has gone from kind of rugged to really in demand? It's Rosedale in Northeast Washington, not far from Gallaudet Campus. A guy named Tony Young, he remembered feeling kind of giddy after deciding in the early 2000s to put a contract on a house in Rosedale, which, you know, this was just a $150,000 property back in 2003. Now, the same property is being sold for $800,000. The demand has gone crazy. It's unbelievable. These soaring values in the last 16 years since Young bought her house in Rosedale, those values have caused agents to now really focus on the neighborhood. Buyers are focusing on the neighborhood. And you look at the regentrification and the development of local bars, local hotspots for eating, hanging out, and generally just living life. It's really quite nice. It's really bounded by Benning Road Northeast, on the south by C Street Northeast, and on the east side by 19th Street Northeast. Okay, that area, which we call Rosedale. It is a kind of just this new, really hot property. People want to be there. They see that as a value. Why? Because row houses in other areas, including Southwest, are now trading for $1 million to $1.1 million. So relatively good value at $750,000 to $800,000. I was showing property down there just 2 years ago at $575,000. You think about that. That's just in 2 years, the value has gone up that much. Now, will this always continue going higher? No, of course not. But the demand is there, and the improvement is coming. Still, there were 89 assaults, 57 robberies, 36 stolen vehicles, 31 burglaries, and 12 homicides reported in Rosedale, according to district police. Okay, so, I mean, that is the harsh reality, right? That is the harsh reality that you can buy somewhere and feel really good because the property values have gone up and there's all kinds of regentrification, but ultimately you want to feel safe wherever you're living. So be mindful of that. There are some great areas that are turning over, and Rosedale, which was very kind of rugged for a long time, still has its rough edges, certain times of day especially, if you follow. When it comes to buying real estate, you're thinking about buying and holding a property, owning a home. Maybe it's going to be for you to live there for the long term. Maybe it's just for a flip. Is the market in Washington, D.C. hitting a wall? Have we seen a top here in Washington, D.C., or is demand going to continue to be strong? The answer is, it's going to continue to be strong as long as the economy is healthy. Because historically speaking, Washington, D.C. has been depressed on real estate for many, 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 many years and has come back more or less to an equilibrium where it should be. If you look at other cities like San Francisco and New York, places that we consider expensive here would be considered very, very inexpensive there. The average median price in San Francisco is $1.6 million, okay? Washington, D.C., it doesn't approach that. It's half that. So we do have, but we don't have the technology. We don't have, you know, Silicon Valley. We don't have the big stockholders in the major companies that are employees of companies here like they are there. But you got Amazon coming, and you've got a lot of wealth in Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia, and Montgomery and Howard counties and other places. And that wealth is investors. That wealth is homeowners who've bought stocks. They've seen them rise. And the big move that I'm seeing now is prospects wanting to simplify their lives. That transit conversation we had at the beginning of today's show, the ability to move easily from one place to another, having things that are local. You know, I think we run so hard here in the Washington, D.C. area. I was chatting with an Uber driver who gave me a lift the other night, and he said, you know, this is a busy place. He came from Morocco, and he said, you know, I have more time in Morocco, but I have less money. Here, people give up their time to have more money, but it's hard to stop. So when you're buying real estate, remember, it's so much about having the freedom to enjoy what you have, not just acquiring it and then having to pay for it. Because you can make yourself a slave to your real estate for 20 to 30 years if you're not careful. If you're not careful, you'll overinvest into real estate at a time when the market's flattening out. Look at the market out in Potomac, Maryland, where real estate prices in Potomac have kind of been flatlined in the luxury brackets for the last 10 years. Prices for homes that were $5 million are still now about $3.25 million, well down from their highs. There was no assurance, and there was no sort of foretelling that the market would not rebound. I think it will. I think it's about to come, and I think it's about to happen because I'm seeing the trend lines of inventory, lower lows and lower highs of inventory for 4 years and running in 20854, 20817, and 20816, which is Bethesda, Potomac, that area by Congressional Country Club, those areas. Same is true in Great Falls. Look at the luxury properties in Great Falls, Virginia, and you'll see the same thing. Why? Because it's harder to get to. It's not walking distance to town, necessarily, unless you're right there in the Great Falls Village or right in Potomac Village. So, I just sold a property. Couple was coming out of D.C., selling a property for $800,000, buying one that I had listed in Bethesda for $1.15. Well, okay. They came in, bought the property. Guess what? They owned their house in D.C. for a period of, what, 4 or 5 years, 6 years, and the value doubled. So they had a lot of equity coming out of one area going into another. I'm seeing that transition of home sellers coming out of the district who had this massive run-up who are now looking to locate with their young families where they can raise the kids, good schools, ease of access, but not necessarily access being the driver. It's size of house, community, and schools that's driving. I think we're about to see a bull market in Potomac. I think we're about to see a bull market in Great Falls. I think the market is going to spread back out to other areas in our area, in the whole area here. I think it's going to continue to be bullish, and we're going to see prices go up. If you want more information on selling your real estate, you'd like to get your home sold, you're thinking about interviewing realtors, or maybe you already have, or maybe you're listening and thinking, I tried to, but I couldn't because the market wasn't there. You know, at the Eric Stewart Group, I've got 31 years experience, and we've developed a 119-step plan to help you sell your home for the most amount of money. We do sell our houses for more than all the other brokers that advertise on this station. So when it comes time to sell, go with the team that gets you the most and gives you the best quality of service. Google us at ericstewartgroup.com is our website, ericstewartgroup.com, or toll free 800-900-9104. That's 800-900-9104. Well, that's a wrap for pointing you home. Senior Solutions is straight ahead, and if you can't sleep, I've got some solutions. That's next, right here on WMAL.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.